It's on?
Yes.
Oh, I'm talking on it?
You can be.
Oh, say hello.
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 What's your comment on this?
That certainly is a big microphone you're sticking in my face.
Wonderful.
More people like that.
The microphone. Is that really on?
No.
Try to hide it.
She's walking around with
stick it over here.
Oh,
I didn't ask for.
Do I spy someone else coming?
Hello, hello. Is it on?
Looks like it. There's a couple of guitars there. Someone here.
No, no one I know.
It's going.
I hope to know because I hope they're coming to play. Will you get out of the way, please, Paul? Thank you, sir. You're obstructing the view, sir.
Now
living
this is,
document.
Now this is Paul Thomas doing mime.
And it's Wednesday afternoon again, and time for another rip snorting
the reason I'm a mime, if I wanted to be a singer, but they wouldn't accept me.
No, really, I am. Could be a singer if I wanted to. Bull. Come see my show at 5:30 today. At the park.
What time did you get here this morning?
You might be the only one there by the turnout today. I look around me and I see a gorgeous broad standing here in blue and white.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, I lied too. No, she's a nice kid. Here, here.
Oh, that's terrific. I'm going to put this right on top of your speaker. Yeah.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Dr. Delecto's Madness and Magic Show. A little music, maestro! Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, downtown Trenton, New Jersey, home of the Laszlo Toth School of Arts, where all our fine young artists have come here this afternoon from various parts of New Jersey. And I'm Dr. Delecto, 5 minutes from anywhere. Gather round. Gather round. And I will hook to you, my friends. Food for thought. Elixirs for the mind. There I was, slowly pushing my way up to 95 for the concrete explosion. Threaten New Jersey. Home of where it all started and never ended. My first reading for this evening. Can everyone hear me? Can you hear me? Can anyone hear me? Can you hear me? You can't hear me now? Can you hear me now? Okay, thank you. Can you hear me back there?
Good, then I can turn this thing off. My first essay for the evening is dedicated to the famous New Jersey poet, the father of them all, Walt Whitman. The work is titled, Know He Man, He. Old Walt Whitman's dead and gone, and never was he married. Apparently, from what I've read, his sexual life was varied. Supposedly, his closest friends were of his own sweet gender. Well, that's okay with me, I guess. It made his macho tender. My next poem is dedicated to all our American spies and blabbermouths. Can you hear me there? Can you hear me? Thank you. Can you hear me? Okay. The title of this work is Come Out, Wherever You Are. Loose-jawed John Dean spilled the beans on Watergate. Soft-haired, rat-think bureaucrat whose fear of being raped in prison blabbed down a tyranny. He showed you as many faces as you would have been, loose-jawed John Dean. Tricky little charlatan he, and for his crime he got 6 months or so on a maximum security country club buried somewhere in the foothills of America where no one could see. But G. Gordon Liddy, silent as the Sphinx, keeps his mouth shut behind bars, behind the first initial of his name. Behind, what's that I spy? A beard! Sweet, mute manifesto. He tries to hide from us, only to reveal his inner guilt. Why, it's getting so you can't even trust people with beards anymore. A few more might try that. Having any trouble hearing me? I keep feeling you can't hear me. Am I getting to you? You hear? Well, I'm not getting to you. You can hear me, but you can't make it out. I'm having trouble myself. Let's try a simple one. We are but newborn birds with wings yet too wet to fly. Time and strength are what we need. True success comes not with speed. Let's try this one. It's called Each Act. Each act I perform determines my destiny. Each room I empty prints my identity. And we all act out the soap operas of our lives on the screens of each other's minds. Is there a meaning? Is there a meaning for each act unfolding specifically as it does? Or is this earth merely a minuscule island somewhere in the vast Pacific of the unconscious universe? We are the cavemen of the space age. Just beginning to peek out of our holes. This next work is one of my most recent endeavors, dedicated to the Queen of the Night, Mary Hartman. Mary Hartman.
I don't know the theme song.
Mary Hartman, Queen Mother of us all, I dedicate this song to you. Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman, lost housewife of America, contemporary Virginia Dare, seated, bare-assed, athwart the privy of her life, biting glossed fingernails, wondering whether or not she should do the laundry before or after her next cup of coffee. The only sounds are the exhaled breath through the hairs of her nostrils and the slow, slow creak of the toilet paper roller distributing its blank certificate of deposit. Mm-hmm. shadows of the trench. Beneath blue skies and 78 degrees under our Lord Almighty Creator. We pause to ask the one question of the day which has yet to been asked, and will never be questioned, nor answered. What is life, anyway? What is it? But the rusty nail our destinies have been hung upon. Nothing more. The Dr. Delecto Roadshow continues with the next group of poems dedicated to our bicentennial America. Gotcha. I call it B-U-Y, on America begins with our own special Pledge of Allegiance.
Test
it. I pledge allegiance to the credit card of the United Banks of America and to big business for which it stands, one nation under money, with buying and selling for all. Our first work is an invocation to the great Indian seer to let us see America. Across the mean mother sea we bloom, in ships creaking with the past, our baggage full of dreams aboard our purple backs. Slave kings were we, to a thought as old as man himself, to catch again that green Eden, rising from the foggy mists, fair on that western shore, at rest upon the horizon, there. Where the sun sets for the promise of tomorrow, so far away, that solid ground, yet close enough for dreams to touch, to build, to live forever on this land.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
It's still early.
My next work is dedicated to the images of the American arcade. Arcade. Part 3. Section 2. What is this strange and sudden atmosphere that closes in upon me? Briny, sweaty fog that chokes the innocence from the air I breathe like some yellow chemical. Gagging pink soldiers on the battlefield. I struggle through whatever it is. Repeat. Repeat. Headless fingers tap time on linoleum tablecloths aside anthropological mailboxes while the earth spins inside this U-Haul trailer of a universe. Visions. Oh, Walt Whitman, where are you now that we need you? Collecting tolls on your Philadelphia bridge. All we need now is bread. Doughy coins for Ollie Burgers and 1952 silver blue Ford convertibles. Roll over, Elvis Presley, in your Cadillac grave. The world is spinning to its start, and neither you nor Jesus Alou can show us the misery and mystery of Tomorrowland. In this dizzy Disney world, amidst Gold Circle, Baroque, Mediterranean, living room, hide-a-bed couches, and the plastic bric-a-brac of all our lives, and wrinkled veterans hawking paper poppy flowers on all-American street corners. This is your last chance, he said, to blueberry the dead. And smiles of impolite rejection whiz past his weary shopping bag. And who really cares about subway fares and turnstiles leading everywhere but anywhere, no how, anymore? But towering infernos and lusty beds full of lives still unwed and unplanned. Oh, monotonous.
monotonous May days, moonbeams, moon dreams. Of renegade bicyclers and dada doodles and fallen eyes meeting over pancakes to the jukebox bossa nova beat, asking once again the meaning of metaphysical French fries. When Black Jim from Jamaica strolled by a Sunday window with his Woodrow Wilson racket, seeking love on the tennis court. How many more billions of hamburgers must be sold into slavery before the world turns to endless Procter and Gamble commercials and rhubarb pies cool in country kitchens and rats go frat in starving tenements and buses flying stars and stripes reminding us what land this is as if we were all too whatever to know. And Uncle Sam, Uncle Sam, goes underground, selling porno books and spray paint to subway fugitives, and screaming lawnmowers shave dead rats, and Checkers Nixon burns in dog's hell. And everyone listens, and no one hears the coming earthquakes now. Only the distant thunder as Pete Rose doubles once more to the right field corner. And Sonny and Cher together go their separate ways. And New World astronomers spy on full moon eclipses while Copernicus plays tic-tac-toe on Hollywood squares. And Captain Kirk and the Enterprise continue the endless, endless search for paradise in new lost video spheres of Stroh's beer and remembrance of things future. And Marshall McLuhan writes graffiti on urinal walls, while Will Shakespeare chuckles over Captain Marvel comics in his tomb. And pseudo-monastic gurus suck Dairy Queens in the back seats of their Mercedes-Benz. And Joe's Trout Band plays bluegrass in Boston, Mass. And Raquel Welch reveals herself verily in this, our Coney Island of the blind. And spring follows spring, as sure as there are tightrope walkers on Nebraska farmlands. While all the answers go unquestioned, and the image fades with Joe Namath passing footballs in pantyhose, and Quakers play bingo in the dark hallway of Lee Harvey Oswald Junior High in Trenton, New Jersey. Fade, fade to black. It's time to make a phone call.
gentlemen, we continue with the Dr. Jalecto Magic and Madness Circus. Food for thought, elixirs for the mind. I'd like to repeat a couple of my works that I did earlier because we have a new audience here. An appreciative one, and I enjoy that. So I thought I'd give them some more of my earlier poems. I began this program, if you weren't there, with my dedication to the great New Jersey poet Walt Whitman. And this is it. The poem is entitled, Know He Man He. Old Walt Whitman's dead and gone, and never was he married. Apparently, from what I've read, his sexual life was varied. Supposedly, his closest friends were of his own sweet gender. That's okay with me, my guess. It made his macho tender. My next work is dedicated to all the spies of the CIA and all the squealers that have passed through the great American panorama in the past couple of years. The poem is entitled, come out, whoever you are. Loose-jawed John Dean spilled the beans on Watergate. Soft-haired, red-figged bureaucrat whose fear of being raped in prison slabbed down a tyranny. He would show you as many faces as you would know. Tricky little charlatan. And for his crime, he got 6 months or so on a maximum security country club. Buried somewhere in the foothills of America, where no one else could see. But G. Gordon Liddy, silent as the Sphinx, keeps his mouth shut behind bars, behind the initial of his first name. Behind, what's that I spy? A beard. Oh, sweet mute manifesto. He tries to hide from us, only to reveal his inner guilt. Why, it's getting so you can't even trust people with beards anymore. Is it hard to hear me over there? Can you pick it up?
Yeah.
Baba?
Loud enough?
Can I get a little louder? Some of them can't hear them. Is that possible? Can you hear me now? Okay, fine.
I can.
You can? You can, good. Because I'm playing to you. This next work is dedicated to the Queen Mother of us all. Mother of Midnight Television, Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman, lost housewife of America. Contemporary Virginia Dare, seated, bare-assed, athwart the privy of her life, biting glossed fingernails and wondering whether or not to do the laundry before or after her next cup of coffee. The only sounds, the exhaled breath passing through the hairs of her nostrils and the slow creak of the toilet paper roller distributing its blank certificate of deposit.
for my passage through the highways and byways of New Jersey. One thing I've got to realize, or come to realize, that New Jersey, if you look close enough, has a commodity on one thing: junkyards. New Jersey is filled with junkyards. And because of that, I began to fall in love with them. Fall in love with them. And the next work I wrote was written to all the junkyards of New Jersey. The most famous one of which I call Casa Royale. A little Casa Royale music, if you please. Casa Royale. Now, this story of Casa Royale is more than just a story of a junkyard. It's a story of the people who live there. Derelicts from society, ex-rock stars, thieves, ladies of the night, who come to revel on the evenings of the full moon. Casa Royale, forbidden city, fool's paradise, Devil's Island, 5 minutes from anywhere, like Harry's Corner Bar. Belted by concrete streams, where now the gently flowing Avon lady from Belmar, New Jersey, ponders as she drives past, unsuspecting. Shall we have spaghetti and meatballs for dinner tonight, or just plain hamburgers? And never once has she been in a junkyard all her life, wife. Pity. Second movement, Casa Royale. Fantasia. Like a sonata, if you will. Casa Royale, hotel of passing outcasts and outcomes, and a few out and out sorry bastards with brains fried sunny side up by Genghis Khan Edison, who should have known better. Here they reside, rock stars, midlight ladies, thumb suckers, thieves, gentlemen and janitors, frocks without sleeves, Hindus and hobbits, an executioner, his clown, another anonymous madman. One arrives, another leaves. Blind seers, dumb prophets all, who have no idea anymore but this, of what anything is about anymore, and what's more, don't care kiss anymore, because nobody gives a rat's ass anyhow. And all their answers to the ancient questions would be wrong tomorrow and evermore anyway. Recapitulation. Casa Royale, rusty paradox, lead balloon. What is it all anyway? He asked himself unemphatically. But the slag pile monument to vain desire. Dry bone skeletons of forgotten things that once belonged to Burger Kings. A gentleman's urinal, m'lady's bidet. This hole pregnant with waste that stumbles through and down the drain of existence on its way around again. Dr. Schizophrenia on the bass. Is that the bass?
This is one side.
That's one side. Dr. Schizophrenia on one side and Marvin Hodge. Right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a round of applause for them. Thank you very much.
And are you finished?
Yeah, I think we could take a break for a while.
How about one more?
One more. Let me see if I can dig something else.
Something, yeah, something uncontrollable.
Uncontrollable.
Something you have to yell.
Oh, and scream like a rock and roll poet. You know anything by Jim Morrison?
Who? Show
We ask the one question that has not yet been asked today. The one question that always remains unanswered and will never be answered. And it always remains unquestioned. And the question is this.
Could it be?
Okay, let's start from the top. We're going to close out our program with one question that's been asked not yet today. And will probably never ever be answered. But it's worth a try. And the question is this. Could it be that the sad part about dying is that the dead can never tell the living how really beautiful death is?
Just beginning to peak
outside our homes. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.